Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The perfect hire can have an impact on your business for years to come. So when you need to find that next person to help grow your business, LinkedIn Jobs will match the right talent with your open role fast. LinkedIn has over 675 million members worldwide. LinkedIn Jobs screens candidates with the hard and soft skills you're looking for so you can hire the right person fast. Things like collaboration, creativity, adaptability. LinkedIn looks beyond the work skills and puts your job post in front of qualified candidates who match your business requirements perfectly. That's how LinkedIn makes sure your job post is seen by the people you want to hire, people with the skills, qualifications, and other interests that will help your business grow. It's no wonder a person is hired every 8 seconds on LinkedIn, and why companies rated LinkedIn Jobs the number one hiring platform for delivering quality hires. Find the right person for your business today with LinkedIn Jobs. You can pay what you want and get the first $50 off. Just visit linkedin.com/team. Again, that's linkedin.com/team and get $50 off your first job post. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints happy cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. It's the big show. Woo, what a weekend the Saints put on for us. I wanna say, Mickey Loomis, Dave, he deserves the Congressional Medal of Freedom. In our time of need, he gave us, when we were all locked in our house, he gave us the most brilliant, amazing, crazy weekend we could imagine.
At the very least, you could give him a chef's kiss, Ralph. Come on.
Ralph, did you do this Jameis Winston crab gif?
I did.
That's impressive work.
I didn't do it. I found it in Giphy.com.
Oh, so you didn't superimpose Jameis Winston's head on the crab.
No.
Who do you think Ralph is?
Gee, Andrew.
I was going to say, that's impressive work.
Andrew, we're lucky this live stream ramshackle podcast gets off every week. I mean, seriously.
You're really testing banana meter right now with that statement.
It is. So, we'll just work our way backwards because the Saints managed.
Tarantino the shit.
Yeah, because the Saints managed to dominate the day after the draft in NFL news. Before I even had my morning coffee, they had agreed to a 1-year deal with Jameis Winston. And then like an hour later, they had signed Taysom Hill to a 2-year, $21 million contract. Let's start with the Taysom contract because I think that's...
Wait, is that the order? Didn't they do Taysom first and then Jameis Winston?
No. It was Jameis first, but apparently...
We don't really know the order, but Jameis news, we were all still asleep when that went live.
Yeah, I know. I was still sleeping.
Yeah.
Andrew called me. He's like, you seen it? I'm like, what? Did they draft somebody in a round that doesn't exist? What are they doing at 8:15 in the fucking morning? And he's like, they're going to sign Jameis Winston. I'm like, great. but the Taysom contract was interesting because it's 2 years, $21 million. Apparently, they had told Taysom what they were going to do with Winston. They've sort of kept him informed of what they want. So, to me, Dave, the Taysom contract is really interesting because it clearly states the Saints, he's going to get first crack at replacing Drew Brees in 2021. We'll get to Jameis in a second, but his is only a one-year deal. Like, all the flowery talk of Taysom Hill being the next Steve Young, and they totally believe in him, and he's a starting quarterback. Like, the Saints put their money where their mouth is. Like, he's going to get a legitimate shot to do this.
Yeah. I mean, this is so far everything that the Saints have said is, like you said, is what's happening. And, you know, this is Taysom's team after Drew Brees is gone.
Andrew, explain this contract to me because it's a little weird. Like, they could have made him stay at the $4.5 million tender, but they gave him $21 million over 2 years, $16 million guaranteed. Like, it's not. It's a really nice contract for him. And the Saints, we'll get into it as the offseason progresses. Their cap situation in 2021 is the most challenging Loomis Mass situation we've ever seen. They're negative in the cap right now, and they have a bunch of people to sign next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Mickey Loomis will figure it out, starting with Drew Brees if he retires and everything. But that'll be for a different podcast on a different day to kind of address that. But yeah, it is an interesting contract, Taysom Hill. 2 years, $21 million. Most of it guaranteed, $16 million guaranteed. You know, I kind of go both ways on this one because in some sense, he's really getting starter, like low starter money, basically. You know, I would say Teddy Bridgewater last year got $7 million to be the highest paid backup in the NFL. This averages $10.5 million a year. So I think it rewards Taysom for basically being a backup deluxe, you know? I mean, by far the best backup in the league is what that says he is. And I think it tries to begin to put a value on the different things that he does for the team. So it's interesting in that when you look at that deal, you kind of ask yourself, he was slotted to make $4.6 million this year. Would he have rather just stay on a one-year deal and taken his chances in free agency? You know, could someone have signed him to a long-term contract or even a short-term deal but said, hey, we'll give you starters money. We want you to be our starter. I think there's a reality here that Taysom Hill probably realizes he was not going to get meaningful quarterback snaps, at least not enough for someone to take that kind of leap of faith in him. Yeah. And so what this contract does is it kind of meets in between. He's not quite getting starters money, but he doesn't have to go in free agency next year and seek that out, you know, because if he doesn't get a starter contract, then he's basically being given a backup deal, which is probably like 2 years, $10 million. And this is more than that. So it's kind of interesting how he's now tied to the Saints for 2 years. If Brees retires, you know, he'll be one of two quarterbacks. The other would be Tommy Stevens under contract for 2021. And, you know, unless the Saints were to re-sign Jameis Winston or bring someone else for competition, they wouldn't have to franchise tag him or anything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
This contract is cheaper than franchise tagging him, so there's a lot of reasons to like it if you're a Saints fan. And it's interesting that Taysom Hill is taking it because, you know, I think a lot of quarterbacks would bet on themselves and say, yeah, you know, well, what, I'm going to stay on this one-year deal and I'm going to test free agency.
Well, that's the thing I was going to say, Dave. I could see a scenario where the Saints go 12-4, 13-3 again, get in the playoffs, and Taysom Hill, if he does in the playoffs what he does against, what he did against Minnesota, but it's two times and one of them is the Super Bowl, like that 2021 Saints contract for $10.5 million will be robbery. Like if Taysom Hill goes in the playoffs and rocks it, A team will give him the keys to be the starting quarterback. I guarantee it. Like, is it wise? I don't know. But if he had a playoff, if he has two good playoff games this year and the Saints win the Super Bowl, or he's like Super Bowl MVP with limited snaps, I guarantee you a team would give him what they gave Teddy. Like, it seems crazy, but I guarantee you a team would.
Yeah, but he's at that point, they're giving him money to be a quarterback?
Yeah. I totally think.
I mean, because if you're talking about this season and playing meaningful snaps, you're talking about him playing meaningful snaps at quarterback, or are you talking about all the other positions he plays?
I'm talking about it would be the exact same as what he did in 2019, maybe a little bit more on offense, a little less on special teams, but he would be amazing in the playoffs. If he just did that this year and was a free agent, I guarantee a team would pay him.
And then what? Use him as a full-time quarterback?
No, yeah, they'd use him as a full-time quarterback. Andrew, are you scoffing at my idea?
No, I agree. I think anything that teams see, I mean, he's already shown that his running ability, his ability to play in big-time situations, I mean, how he played against Minnesota in that playoff game, He's already shown that he's a gamer. So I think there's already a lot of respect there. Now, can he consistently play a game at quarterback from start to finish? That remains to be seen. But I think any more solid tape that he puts out there, I mean, the more he puts out there, the more teams, I think, would be willing to take a risk on him. Yeah.
Who, you know, they're going to have Winston in 2020, Dave. So what's this quarterback situation going to be if Drew gets hurt again like he did in 2019? Is it going to be Winston, or is it going to be Winston for a half and then Taysom Hill? Like, because Teddy Bridgewater, he had a year in the system. This year, Winston's going to be the Saints' backup quarterback. They're going to have no offseason. They're not going to have mini camps. They're not going to have install. It's a steep uphill climb for him, I think, to get on even footing with Taysom in understanding of the offense, at least. So where do you think, when it all shakes out, what's going to be the depth chart at quarterback for the Saints?
I've got to think if Breeze gets injured, I think I don't think you go to Winston. I think Taysom Hill's the guy. If he's the guy who's going to be the next man up when Drew Brees retires, then why wouldn't he be the next man up when Drew Brees gets injured? I think Winston is more of an insurance in that situation, so that when Taysom or if either Taysom or Drew gets injured, you know, if Taysom gets injured, then obviously they want a backup in case Drew should get injured, and obviously if Drew gets injured, they're going to need a backup for Taysom. So, you know, it's just an additional insurance policy. And look, I know why Jameis Winston is in the position he's in, because he threw 30 interceptions last year and he was generally pretty terrible.
Well, he alternates between awesome, spectacular throws and bonehead. So he's not. He showed terrible.
Right. He's shown flashes of brilliance. I mean, he's beaten the Saints before. I mean, he's shown flashes of good quarterback play. I mean, my thing is I think maybe this is an unpopular opinion, but I'm excited about it because I really think that part of his problem was his poor vision. And he never wore contacts, and he never wore glasses when he played. And I don't know how bad his vision was, but he got LASIK in February. And I think that...
Medicine's not a science.
I think that actually could potentially make a big difference. And you could see a much improved Jameis Winston. I'm not kidding, because he has, you know, 20-20, 30-30, whatever it is, vision now. So I'm kind of excited to see what happens.
I mean, who knows?
Maybe somehow he plays great. I mean, you know, even if there's a season, is there going to be a preseason? That's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about how, like, what's the preseason going to look like given coronavirus situation? Are they going to even have a preseason? Is it going to be a shortened preseason? I don't think we're going to get the chance, to see all these training camp battles play out like we normally would. So I don't know how much Jameis Winston we're even going to get to see.
I totally agree. I think if they have a season, even if it's with no fans, I think they're going to be like, we're not doing the preseason because that's just extra travel. More chance to get people to get sick. So we're not doing it. You're practicing for a month by yourself, and then we're playing games. But Andrew... Jameis is, to put it lightly, he's problematic. I mean, crab legs, the gif that we have on this podcast, he's got that. He's been rapey two separate times at Florida State and in an Uber. He's not...
He just seems like an idiot.
He does, but the thing with him is fans in Tampa, the team in Tampa, his teammates loved him in Tampa. Saints players were excited that they're getting him. But Andrew, I really... don't want him to be the long-term answer at Saints quarterback. It's fine that he plays for a year. Hopefully he doesn't play at all and he gets some of that residual, hey, he studied under Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Maybe he's changed. Like, that would be great for him, but I really don't want him to be the future of the Saints. Like, if you told me I could have Jameis Winston or a mystery behind door number two, I would take door number two. Like, I don't want him to be – I don't want to be rooting for Jameis Winston the next 5 years.
I never hated Aaron Brooks, but I wasn't a huge fan. I didn't hate him as much as some fans did. But to me, Jameis Winston is Aaron Brooks, except he's got off the field issues too. So, like, I mean, seriously, that's what he seems like to me. Now, maybe he's a little bit more talented than Brooks was, but not much. I mean, Brooks was insanely talented. Maybe he's got a little bit more ability. I mean, it's close. To me, he's Aaron Brooks with off the field issues. Why would you say he's any better than that based on his win losses when he's been in Tampa, based on his production? I mean, it's very Aaron Brooksy. Brooksy was 7-9, 8-8 every year.
I would say Brooks protected the ball better.
And both of them had major issues with protecting the football. So, you know, Brooks maybe less dangerous throwing, more dangerous running. You know, he had more of an impact with his legs. But I just think ultimately when you look at Jameis Winston, and I'll go back to your original question, which is how will the Saints employ this? I agree with Dave 100%. I think if Brees goes down, you've got to go with the quarterback that gives you the best chance to win. And right now, in my opinion, that's Taysom Hill. I think if you compare Taysom Hill to Winston, now the big question is, how much does Winston develop and come along? If the LASIK thing is a big deal, then maybe he looks really good. And, you know, with more opportunities to play quarterback, if Taysom kind of bones the opportunity and doesn't look that good, then maybe there's a way for a path for Jameis to kind of wedge himself in there. But I think it's going to have to be the combination of Winston looking better than he did in Tampa and Taysom taking a step back. You know, that's how he could get to some playing time if Drew got hurt. But, you know, I don't view this that differently. I mean, obviously, we've all been thinking about this a lot today. I just feel like when I look at the how the Saints approached free agency, and they lowballed Ndamukong Suh, they lowballed Wilkerson, they lowballed Jimmy Graham, they lowballed Ziggy Ansah. I mean, you think of all these players, they have poked around at these big names and they've lost out on them because other teams have paid these guys market value or higher. And I don't view this as any different. You know, I'm sure, and we saw that there was another team, the Steelers, out there that sent Jameis Winston an offer, and it was much higher than the Saints. And, you know, I think the Saints just looked at it as, hey, we need a quarterback. Let's lowball Jameis Winston and see what happens. If he doesn't take it and go somewhere else for more money, no big deal. We'll lose out on him like all the other names I just mentioned. But if he takes it, then we have a deluxe third-string quarterback. So, you know, the more I've thought about this today, I don't know that we necessarily have to look into this too much or think about what this means for the future. I think they just lowballed a deluxe third-string quarterback. He took the offer. And so now, you know, the Saints have a guy in their building that they can evaluate for a year, and then they'll go from there, because you can't look a year into the future. We don't know what will happen with Taysom Hill, health-wise or whatever. And we don't know how Jameis is going to look for a year. So you get a guy in your building, you evaluate him, and then, you know, after his contract's up, you make a decision. My strong sense is that this will be a one-year situation with Winston. And then I think there will probably be a team out there that says, Jameis kept his nose clean for a year in New Orleans, and he learned from Breeze, he learned from Peyton. Let's gamble on him and make him our starter. I could see it happen.
Oh, completely.
Do you think that there is going to be any issues or problems, you know, in Tampa for what, 3-4 years now? He's been, you know, the main guy, the leader in the locker room, the leader on the team, the leader of the offense. Is he going to have a problem coming to New Orleans and now being the third guy in the room on having to just sit there and listen?
Yeah.
And, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I if it were Cam Newton, I would say absolutely. I think it's Cam Newton will not accept a pay cut, you know, a backup salary to go. Because he views himself, I've been league MVP, I've been to a Super Bowl, like I'm the man and I need to be a starter somewhere. And so I could see Cam Newton not playing this year because I don't think he's going to get the offer he's looking for and to humble himself to be a backup. But I just think Jameis, you know, he's never really accomplished anything. I mean, you could say that he's thrown for over 4,000 yards and, you know, all these things, but I mean, statistically he's done some stuff, but he's never won, you know, he's never been successful in the league, relatively speaking. So I think Jameis will totally humble himself. And that's what I said this morning. My biggest concern, I said this before Taysom got a 2-year contract, but my biggest concern going into this was that Jameis Winston was going to be a model citizen, look awesome, play really well, do so well that the Saints say, you know what, we're going to commit to Jameis, not Taysom. And then when he gets the keys of the car 2 years later, then he shows his ass and then he turns back to being Jameis Winston. So that was my biggest fear in getting him in the building.
No,
David Bowman in the chat brings up a good thing I hadn't thought about. I'm excited now about the training camp QB challenges that Drew puts together. We probably won't have any because of coronavirus. But
no, they probably won't. But if they do, they'll be sponsored, man. It'd be must-see YouTube television.
I think those will be funny.
The one thing I'll say with Jameis is, to piggyback on Andrew, is he is going to be low-key. And the thing is with the Saints, I think players around the league look at their locker room and they're like, that locker room is fun. Teddy Bridgewater, he is a backup quarterback. He had fun. Kamara has fun. Sean Payton looks like he's fun when they're winning. And I think that plays into it. And I think Jameis is just going to keep his head down. Maybe he does goofy things in the locker room and tries to take over that sort of Teddy Bridgewater fun celebration guy role, which would be fine. But it's interesting.
Remember, too, it's a one-year deal. And from everything I'm hearing, it's very low money for a guy like this. So if that's the case, they can cut him at any time. Like if he's a bonehead, and I just think when guys are on a 1-year deal and they're not getting paid, they don't have any security, they're not going to rock the boat because they know teams won't tolerate, they'll just ship them out. if they have a problem with him.
And I, you know, last thing on this is Jameis Winston, Dave, he could really look at this as like, I'm going to New Orleans and this is, I'm taking the master class from Sean Payton and Drew Brees and I'm just going to learn. I'm just going to learn some stuff. And I'd rather go there than go to Pittsburgh and be under them. I think this is maybe he views
now the bottom line. Like, if he's going to be the third string and you see what he has, fine. For a minimum deal, it's I really don't care about bringing anyone into camp on a low contract. That's never going to bother me. But when I say, I've said this many times on the podcast, I don't care about, are they model citizens? Like, this is my entertainment, and I don't subscribe to just like, they don't have to have my moral compass. So, you know, they don't have to live up to some standard of morality for me to, I root for the emblem, you know, the players, I don't hang out with them. I don't know what they do when they go home. So like, I'm not going to dig too deep, you know, but I will make an exception for starting quarterback. I do think your starting quarterback is a statesman of the team. He represents the organization. We've been blessed to see Brees do it for the last 15 years, and to go from Brees to that idiot would be
bad,
awful. And so I hate this in the sense that I just cannot fathom having Jameis Winston as the face of this franchise. Like, to me, that, like, when you look at Teddy being in the building and Taysom Hill and what those guys represent and their character, if it was Teddy Bridgewater or Taysom Hill, I would feel very different than I would about Jameis Winston. And look, if he's here for a year as a backup and then he goes elsewhere, that's fine. But I would have a really hard time. I mean, I'm not saying I would stop rooting for the team or anything like that, but I would be strongly against. I just, bottom line, and again, people can change. We'll see. But I am not a believer in Jameis Winston on or off the field.
So,
guys, I am like in my feelings right now, and I'm upset because I'm really excited for next season. Like, there's a lot of good things going on. They already had a great roster. I feel like they've made a lot of good improvements, you know, a lot of fun guy, interesting guys like Jameis Winston. But I'm worried. Obviously, this is going to be this is supposed to be Drew's farewell tour. I mean, this is it. This is the big attempt to go for it and really make a shot at the Super Bowl. And I'm concerned that this whole season is going to be canceled.
I mean, we'll have plenty of time to get into that.
Oh, my God.
There's no way Brees is going to retire like this. He'd come back again if he had to sit out a year.
Well, the one thing I will say, Dave, about that is
I'm having a moment.
Well, I have my moments, too, during the day. The one thing I'll say about it is, we'll have plenty of time to talk about if they don't have a season, so we just sort of put it in the corner and ignore it. The one thing I will say is if they have a season, I really believe the Saints are set up to kick ass because they've had this same team basically for 4 years.
I agree. This is it. If it's not this year, I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
When the NFL season starts, and I believe it will, I'm going to pound that Saints over. That's 10, and I think it's 10.5 or 11, depending on where you go. Because I just think they're ready made, and they're not going to have to integrate too many guys.
Great, Ralph. Just go ahead and fucking jinx it for all of us. Go ahead and do that. Thanks, Ralph.
Hey, man, I bet the over for the Saints the last 4 years. It's worked out. I was the closest one to the prediction this year. I predicted 14-2.
And wait. Before I forget, Darren Revelle, fuck you, man. Who hurt you, dude? Come on.
So, before the Saints did their quarterback moves today, they signed the UDFA of our dreams, a.k.a. Throckmorton. Andrew,
yeah, buddy.
You pay attention.
We all pretty much just willed that into existence.
I mean,
we pulled his name out of nowhere off of a list. I was just looking.
Well, hold on. I've been hearing about this kid for about a
no.
Decade.
Yeah, yeah. No, you totally have. But we didn't even know that
when he was in eighth grade, like mauling 12-year-old girls in, you know, the co-ed league. My coworker was telling me, dude, my cousin, you got to check him out. You got to check him out. He's getting offers from colleges already. I'm telling you, he's going to be a beast one day. I've been hearing that shit for a decade.
Right, but we didn't even know that until Ralph and I both kind of mentioned it as a fun guy to draft or to pick up.
I can't believe he's on the Saints. I cannot believe
it. What I'm saying, we willed it into existence.
Well, Andrew, I mean, didn't you say they video chatted him like three times or something?
I don't know. Why didn't Andrew know all of this already?
Yeah, why didn't But
I don't know. I mean, it would help if I was seeing my coworker at the office, but I think I have a face meeting with him tomorrow, a Zoom meeting, so I'll have to prod him for information.
So
yes, you do.
The Saints, they signed an LSU.
I'm sure I could get him on the show.
They didn't draft an LSU player, but they signed a UDFA, McGee, who murdered two dudes against Vanderbilt. He's a guard for LSU. That'll be fun. But as far as the draft went, I mean, they traded
Ralph, you need to choose your words wisely, because you just said murder two dudes and this Tulane basketball player just got arrested for murdering somebody, so I took you literally there for a minute. Yeah. You gotta be careful with that, please. Jesus.
Phrasing. But the thing is, with the Saints draft, I mean, and I said it in my Channel 4 comment, I said it at the open of this show, like, I know it was sad for Kevin, but as far as entertainment value, I couldn't think of a scenario where it could have been more fun Thursday and Friday than it ended up being.
Well, I had a blast on the two podcasts we did Friday night. From what I remember,
when you were getting bendy yourself.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, what's Winston's bendiness quotient? Do we know?
No.
Is he bendy?
How are the Bond on the Bayou t-shirts?
I think Cam Jordan has bent him in half a couple times.
Yeah, we need to do Bond on the Bayou, and we need to do Rock Out with Your Throck Out.
So, I mean, as you've had a chance to process the draft, though, besides the fun element, which was just amazing, how do you both feel about it? Andrew, I'll start with you.
Well, I mean, I'll add Jameis to the mix and then Taysom today. I can't believe that after all that, yes, everything that transpired between Thursday and Saturday, and then this morning they signed an LSU player. They give Taysom Hill a 2-year deal and they sign Jameis Winston. So like the last 4 days have just been insane. They've been awesome. I think I speak for all of us when I say we really needed this. And, you know, regardless of how you feel, if you agree with me on Jameis, or if you think I'm crazy and you think he's great for the Saints, I think we can all agree that the Saints have entertained us, and you know, at a time where we're just bored out of our minds and not able to watch sports, this went about as well as it could have if you're a Saints fan in terms of entertainment and action. It was an action-packed week/weekend, and so I really enjoyed it. I mean, in terms of the picks, you know, I'm excited that they were able to get three guys. I mean, forget all the trading, they're gonna have a full draft next year. I mean, the quarterback, Tommy Stevens, we'll see. That's a total developmental project, whatever.
Sean Canfield 4.0.
Yeah. But the three guys they drafted are supposed to be top, we'll call it 50, top 50 range players. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do. And Fredo, no, I was saying they're going to have all their picks last year. I meant that because they're going to get comp picks at 3 and 6. Which, you know, so they'll recoup those picks they traded away. I'll just say this about the draft. I think Ruiz and Troutman are interesting guys, so I'm looking forward to them. But the one guy in this draft that I think has to be a hit this year is Zach Bond. I think of the three, when you look at the Saints linebacker situation, I'm glad they got a linebacker, but he is the one of the three that I'm really banking on to be good this year.
Like there's a chance that everything goes according to plan, Dave, and they get lucky with injuries. Warford loses weight, gets back to his 2017-2018 level. Ruiz doesn't play much, and Jared Cook is just phenomenal. Josh Hill keeps doing Josh Hill type thing, and Troutman is just kind of there and inactive, maybe some, you know. So that's the interesting thing.
Are you saying he's Colby Fleener 2.0?
I mean, if he ends up being a 50 catch tight end, that's okay. But the one thing I was going to say, Andrew, is we said on our second round preview for the Saints podcast, which everybody, you should become a $10 patron. You get the Crew to Taysom Cup, you get the koozie, you get the magnet, and you get the podcast every single day. You should do it. We had 15 new signups this weekend. Thank you, guys. But the one thing we said on that patrons-only podcast is we wanted two things. Andrew wanted the Saints not to pick Jordan Love. Check. And we wanted the Saints to have all their picks for the 2021 draft, which basically they do because they'll get the third-round comp pick and the sixth-round comp pick back. So it all went according to the form, and they managed to be reckless and do trades and keep all the 2021 picks. It couldn't have worked out any better than it did.
You know what? I'm just realizing now. You know, we did that final mock draft simulation on the big show before the draft, and we kind of got silly with it and made a whole bunch of trades. I mean, they really did. They really kind of were as crazy in real life as we were in that.
They were
in that simulation.
They were. I mean, the crazy thing was, I wonder, because they said they were trying to trade up for like an hour to get Zach Bond.
God,
I wonder.
Thank God they fucked that up. Thank God they didn't. Who knows what they would have given up?
But if you're Mickey Loomis, why do you admit that? Like he went on the air and he's like, "Yeah, he's like, we were lucky because we were trying to trade for Zach Bond for an hour and we would have given up more than we ended up giving up to get him." Like, why? Why would you say that?
I mean, here's the thing, though. Teams.
It's almost like he's like, yeah, you guys think this is insane? I was about to sink a first.
I mean, Andrew, what do you think? I mean, teams just didn't want the Saints 2021 second round pick. That's basically what it came down to, right?
Well, I mean, they valued the player they were going to get, you know. So I think maybe that's part of it. It's just sometimes a team's like, we like the value we have here, and we believe we can get a player that will help us more so than these hypothetical picks next year. So that's where you run into trouble. But man, if the Saints struggle to trade for an hour, I mean, an hour is 20 picks, you know, and at least, and yeah. Probably 15, 20 picks. So for Bond to stay available for that long, I mean, the other thing you have to ask is, are the Saints valuing him higher than everyone else? And should that make us worried?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he's in the he was in that range. I saw him as high as low first and as low as, like, where the Saints picked him. So that's – I mean, his range was kind of all over the place. He did have
– It was a surprise that the Saints he did got have, him where they did.
Medicine's not a science.
He did have some medical issues. I mean, he's got he had a foot issue. He's been healthy the last 2 years, though.
Yeah.
But, Dave, what are your opinions of the mini Ditka, the dollar store Ditka trade for Troutman after you've had a couple days to process it?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I see both sides of it. We talked about how this season's probably going to be different. It's going to be shortened or whatever because of the pandemic, and you know, so this is the year where you don't really want to have too many players. You want to keep it manageable, and also the Saints, their roster is already deep. So what's the point in drafting 7-8 guys if you're going to wind up cutting all of them? Before the draft, I said I kind of feel the opposite way. I'm all about the drafting a bunch of players, see what shakes out. You never know who's going to surprise you. You know, you never be complacent with your roster. But obviously, they did the opposite, and they kind of just said, you know what, we're just going to take We just need three or four guys that we think are good that are going to be actually make this team. And, you know, we don't want to bring in too many guys that we can't control because we can't be with them and they can't report to camp and all that kind of stuff. So, but, I mean, like you said, Ralph, it was fun. It was super fun. You know, day two was
amazing.
Awesome. That was wild. And at the very least, it was entertaining.
They won the trade chart.
Regardless of what happens on the
football
field. The
pick the Saints got in the third round had more value, according to the trade chart, than the four picks they gave up. So
combined.
Yeah, I saw Larry Holder tweet that, I think, right?
Yeah, you know, another thing that's interesting is if you look at how much money the Saints are giving to the undrafted rookies, it's a ton. It's way more than the other teams. I mean, Throckmorton got $120,000, and I saw something on Twitter today from Adam Schefter that said that there was another team that paid some guy $80,000, and he was, you know, commented that that felt like a lot. But then you look at the Saints and they had like five guys that they gave over $80,000 to, 90, 95, 100K, 120K.
They needed the Throck, so they paid the nose.
So
they needed to rock out with the Throck.
When the Saints only drafted four guys and they have more money for their rookie bonus, for their rookie pool, they were able to spend more on the undrafted guys. So, you know, I think the flip side of that coin is that, you know, when you look at these undrafted guys, are they really that much worse than a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick? I mean, it's all a crapshoot at that point. And, you know, they were able to get their pick of the litter there a little bit because they had a little bit more funds.
It was. If I said to you, Andrew, I know you said Bond heads to be the guy that they need him the most in 2020. But if I said to you $500 in 3 years, who's going to be the best player of this draft? Who would you pick?
Oh, if you say 3 years, then I definitely want it to be Ruiz because, you know, the Warford thing's interesting. I think a lot of times when you get a talented player like that that's coming off a bad year and was overweight, you know, when you draft a first-round pick like this and Warford's in a contract year, I think that's the motivation that a veteran like that needs to get in shape. I would expect that Warford, I mean, either he's kind of over it, at which point, I mean, it might be like an Unger situation where, like, he's kind of done and it's time for Ruiz to be good now, or Warford's going to come back and play really well this year, in which case Ruiz may not start. And Ruiz may be kind of your sixth O-lineman and may play if someone gets injured, may do some tackle-eligible stuff, but I think that's a good situation for the Saints to be in because if Warford kind of recommits himself and looks great this year, then Ruiz doesn't have to play as much this year and he doesn't have to be awesome. But looking down the road, I think of all those players, you know, he's the one. Offensive line is just so important. That's your first round pick. And look, they drafted him to protect Breeze, but he's going to have to protect Taysom Hill or whoever it is after that. So I would say future long-term Ruiz.
Dave, do you agree with that?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, the thing is with Ruiz, when they first picked him, I was like, oh, he's a center. Why can't you could have got him later? But, you know, reading on Twitter and Underhill and other people, there were like four teams behind the Saints that were totally going to pick him in the first round. So there was no, like, trade down, get an extra pick, and get Ruiz. They could have traded down and got somebody good or whatever, but they weren't going to get him.
But I mean, back to Zach Bond, though, what I was going to say is I don't trust Kiko Alonso and Anzalone to be healthy. You know, maybe they get through 10 games. I mean, who knows?
Should we get a Creedence Clearwater drop and have Bond on the Bayou? Should we have that drop?
Yeah, we need that. Yeah. But that's why I'm saying I think Zach Bond, when you look at linebacker Sten, he's got to be good this year. He's going to play.
That's the hype train. Who of the draft picks or the UDFAs is going to fire up the hype train the soonest?
Throckmorton.
No.
Oh, no, it's got to be a skill position guy.
I think it's going to be Troutman. I think Troutman's just going to. You're gonna see like clips of him running the
one red zone touchdown.
Yeah, like one red zone touchdown, 7-on-7, or like he'll have a day where he'll catch two, and he's just gonna blow. He's just gonna blow up Saints Twitter in the summer. That's Troutman. He's my prediction. Other things about the draft.
I'll go with Marquez Callaway, the undrafted rookie out of Tennessee. I'm already seeing Saints fans on Twitter being way too excited about this guy. I mean, he catches 1 7-yard out in camp at practice in one-on-ones, and I just think it's going to be like gasoline.
Is he gonna rival Emmanuel Butler for hype, Dave?
No, only Emmanuel Butler can rival Emmanuel Butler. Let's not forget he's still around. So it's just he's just another wide receiver to be hyped about.
Well, that's another point we should talk about. I mean, I think if I look at this roster right now, quarterback, man, check. They addressed that. They got a prospect. They got Winston. So you feel better about that position. I really think top to bottom, when you look at the roster, they address kind of everything they needed. The only thing left is receiver. And you say what you will about Emmanuel Butler. I think he was probably overhyped, never lived up to it. You know, they still have Dave's boy, little Jordan Humphrey, but I just think receiver to me, I would like to see Traquan Smith have more competition than he has. So there's one position I still wish had been addressed that never was. That's definitely it.
I feel okay at wide receiver just because adding Emmanuel Butler, it just makes
Sanders.
You feel so much better.
You mean
about
Sanders?
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Emmanuel Sanders. It makes me feel so much better about it because it used to be if something happens to Michael Thomas, even for like 3 weeks, oh my God, receiver is going to be a disaster. Now I just feel good about it. And I feel like with Cooks and Kamara, they'll have other guys.
Cook.
I'm having a strong night. I'm having a strong, strong night. It's been a rough. It's been a lot of work. I did five podcasts.
You missed it this morning, Dave. Ralph said Jameis Hill one point this morning.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's great.
I'm looking forward to Taysom Winston.
Yeah, you should make it.
Taysom Winston.
Jameis Hill, that'd be a good next koozie to do. For patrons, I think they would appreciate that. But I feel okay at wide receiver with Sanders there and Traquan Smith. Like maybe they push him off the roster, maybe they don't. And they have Deontay Harris too, Andrew, to do interesting things at wide receiver. I feel okay at wide receiver. I look at this roster, I feel great about everything. It's just injury. You know, where are they going to be hit with injuries? Where can they absorb it? But
I kind of think they can absorb it everywhere.
Well, I think they'd be.
Look. Obviously, if something happens to Lattimore or Cam Jordan, I mean, there are some players you lose them, and it's you know. But look, they lost Breece for 5 weeks last year. I think when you look at this roster, I still think linebacker is a little thin. You know, I would say corner. It depends on PJ Williams and Patrick Robinson. You know, can those guys at least kind of stay marginally okay? Yeah, they're pretty deep. I mean, I think you go up and down the roster, they could sustain an injury at each position group and be okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm a little nervous about cornerback. They could be a little deeper at cornerback.
Yeah, I feel like with the modern NFL now, Dave, I just feel like everybody's fragile at cornerback because teams throw so much and they play three and four wide receivers. Like if you go down even one or two corners, even if it's not the Saints number one and two guys, if three and four or three and five got hurt, I think they'd be in a world of hurt. But I think that's fucking every team. I don't think that's...
Having Malcolm Jenkins and CJ Gardner-Johnson, though, I mean, they're cover guys. And they might not be corners in the strictest sense, But they have slot coverage ability, and I think they can help mitigate. Now, what I worry about is something happening to Janoris Jenkins, or even Lattimore, because if they go down, then you're probably playing PJ Williams or Patrick Robinson, and you're probably putting them in matchups that make you uncomfortable. I think Jenkins and Gardner Johnson, they may be safeties, but I think they help the depth at coverage a good bit.
Dave, besides your hatred of Darren Revell this weekend, which was totally warranted, and I think after every emotional rant you have from now on, you should end it with "fuck Darren Revell."
He's such a narc.
But the draft had some crazy stuff. Jerry Jones was drafting from his super yacht, which was just the most Jerry Jones thing that ever was. The only thing that would
power move, flexing on all the other owners.
I mean, the only thing that would have made it more of a power move is if he would have had bimbos in the background doing blow on the yacht while he was drafting. But the ratings were ridiculous.
Were they?
They were. They were 40% higher than last year, the highest ratings I've ever had. And granted, that's because America is captive in our homes and we don't have anywhere to go. Right. But it's really interesting in that the NFL was talking about, hey, maybe we need to add some of this stuff that we do for this year. Maybe we need to keep it going forward. But the one thing is, Andrew, I managed to come out of this draft. I hate Roger Goodell even more, and I didn't think that was possible.
But he really is insufferable.
He is fucking insufferable.
It's so uncomfortable. Like, when he turned around and would, like, interact with the fans on the screen that can't even interact back with him. It's just, he's like, I said it this past weekend. He's just like a robot. He is like, he has a heartless robot.
I have a more personal relationship with my Roomba than Goodell had with those screens of fans that he was interacting with that they couldn't hear him. Like, it was just so, so painful. It would have been more fun, I think, if he was had more of a personality or drank during the draft and was like, hey, I'm in my basement, everybody. Let's do pick 25. But, like, of course he wouldn't do that because he's Roger Goodell and he's a bore. But, Andrew, I know we all said at the top we loved this draft and it was great because we needed it. But as far as on its own terms, did you enjoy it more because of any of the uniqueness than you otherwise have other drafts?
Oh, I'll tell you right now, what I did not enjoy was the rock concerts. I mean, where you'd have to go like 5 minutes watching a band perform. I like music. I like the NFL draft. I do not like them together. I don't know what that was, but I that was weird. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You saw that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You agree? That was weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I did like seeing the guys at home. To me, having them in suits on a big stage and hugging Goodell at the podium and then being interviewed by Dion, like, this isn't the red carpet, you know? This is the NFL draft, and so I think it was way more real and cool to see them with their families, dressed down, and just it felt more real.
The dad falling off the lazy boy.
I don't know. I thought that was cool.
The pick.
I preferred it.
Yeah. It was great.
I will say, like, there were some guys that were drafted where there was, like, 20 to 50 people in a room with them. And there was definitely not social distancing going on.
No.
And there's no way that all those people have been staying together in the same house that whole time.
No, and the thing is, like, that's just one room in the house. You know those draft parties had like 50, 80, 100 people. Like, there's no doubt about it. LSU had 14 people drafted, which is just amazing.
It's a record.
Tied the record.
The record. Michigan had every offensive lineman drafted, and that they still are mediocre under Harbaugh. It's just incredible. So we talked about, you know, what we like about the roster and what we don't. We feel like it's loaded. It's pretty much wrapped up. Is there any thing in the NFC South that has changed your mind about the Saints being the clear favorite? And oh, by the way, Atlanta drafted terribly, I think. They drafted guys that fucking way overdrafted them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say the Panthers went all defense every single pick, and that was weird. I mean, I get that they wanted to fix their defense, and their defense was terrible last year, but I don't know. I feel like that's a very stubborn approach, and it's kind of similar. Remember, Atlanta, remember they felt like their offensive line wasn't any good, and so they went guard, guard, guard again, just to like over – and in free agency, they got two guards, and then they drafted a guard, then they drafted another one. Like they sunk so many assets on one position group because they felt like they had to fix it, and all those guys stunk, and it didn't work. And I just feel like it's going to be the same thing with the Panthers. Instead of just being honest with themselves about, like, hey, let's pick the best player, it was all like, they forced all these defensive players. And so I think they lost sight of drafting good players. And so I think that's going to blow up in their face.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing I will say about that, I do like the Saints' philosophy. It doesn't always work out the way they want it to. But I like the Saints' philosophy of, hey, we added this guy in free agency, that need is filled. And you could say, well, you need more, and you need another guy. But they say, hey, we signed this guy at tight end, or we signed this guy at linebacker, or whatever. It's filled, and they don't sort of go to excess in the draft a lot of times. Sometimes they will pick multiple guys because it's best player available, but they don't do it a lot. And Andrew, I like that philosophy. I think because you have more than one hole to fill, right? So there's that.
There was nothing that scared me, I guess is what I'll say. You know, the Tampa took Wirfs, and they needed an offensive lineman to protect Brady. But I do think Wirfs is insanely athletic, but he's a little raw. So he has some bust potential. Like you said, I think Atlanta drafted absolutely horribly, and to see them in the third round go interior offensive line again is just comical. And they drafted a punter. Yeah, I don't know if you saw that in the seventh round.
Well, the Patriots apparently drafted a super racist punter that had super racist tats.
Hey, good for them.
So I guess maybe Belichick can blame that on his dog.
And I know the Saints liked the corner that Atlanta took, but that felt like a reach, you know? So, I mean, if you were to ask me who made me the most nervous, I guess Derek Brown and Gross Matos, you know, for Carolina to get both of those guys, you know, their defensive line might be improved.
Yeter Gross Matos.
Hey, Dave, Alan asks a good question. Instead of Teddy's bike life dance, we're going to get Jameis eating the W's to Choppa style in the postgame locker room, aren't we?
Ooh, my pants just got tighter when you mentioned that. Oh, I'm excited about that. It's going to be good.
He's going to eat the W for a minimum.
Oh, that's going to be so good. I can't wait to meme that.
Here's a good question from Nola Flint, Andrew. Who'll be more confident in training camp, the older, higher-paid Taysom or the number one pick, five-year starter, Jameis?
What was the question? Who will be the what?
Who'll be more confident?
Confident? Probably Jameis. Who would have more reason to be confident? Taysom.
Jameis is super confident. He thinks he can put a ball anywhere. That's why he throws 30 picks a year.
Jameis, I remember it's kind of his exit interview. He said, hey, man, I balled out all year. He literally said that after throwing 30 interceptions. He said, I balled out all year. If I can just cut back the turnovers, we're talking Pro Bowl. We're talking MVP. And for him to have that assessment of his performance last year, he's not lacking in self-confidence.
This is from Wallace. The Saints drafted
a new. That I can throw this football over the mountains.
The Saints drafted a new QB to be the next Taysom Hill. Hill himself is already the Clickmaster General, King of Content. They signed the 2019 passing NTD leader in Winston, and they still have the greatest quarterback in league history. Is this wealth?
I was gonna mention that earlier. I mean, could you make an argument that the Saints have the best group of quarterbacks in the NFL?
By far. It's not even, yeah. I don't even think it's a question.
Well, it was definitely the case last year. I don't see why it would change this year.
Well, because we traded out Teddy Bridgewater for Jameis Winston, so.
I mean, we're still talking, yeah, but Jameis is still a starting quality player, I think.
And the thing is,
bottom rung, but still a starter.
Thing is, though, Jameis, talent-wise, is leaps and bounds better than Teddy. Like, physical talent, you know? So I think the room is just as good as it ever was. And
I don't know. You put Teddy with Mike Evans and Godwin, though. I mean, who knows what kind of – no, I think Teddy in Tampa would have done really well with those receivers.
Yeah.
Another reason I'm totally excited for this season. We got Teddy in Carolina. We got Brady in Tampa. God.
It's going to be interesting. NFC South is going to be –
this is wild.
I mean, it – yeah. Obviously, I'm with Dave, and I have fears about the season. We all do. And look, we'll take any football we can. We'll take any football we can get, right? So if it's empty stadium, it's empty stadium. We'll just deal with it. But it'll really make me sad if it's empty stadiums and we can't. I can't go to Saints Bucks and see Brady Breeze one more time, among other things. But that's just that'll make me. Really sad, but I will tell you, I'm going to bet 4 months of podcast revenue on the Saints Bucks being the Monday night game, week 1. I guarantee you that is the fucking game. There is not a doubt in my mind.
When are they releasing the schedule? Soon?
It's going to be a little bit delayed, they said, because of they're trying to factor in coronavirus, I guess. So I think they want to wait as long as they can so that they don't want to release it and then have to adjust it, I guess. Would that be the reasoning,
yeah, right.
Andrew?
Yeah.
So okay. Thanks to everybody in the chat room tonight. By the way, I just want to close with this. We worked our ass off this weekend. You had 5 podcasts plus this one, so you get 6 podcasts since Thursday. I did 2 columns, and we just were on Twitter. We were in the Discord chat room that Andrew set up. Andrew, how many people do we have signed up in the Discord room?
Over 100.
Over 100. So if you're a patron at any level, you can go in the Discord chat. Me and Andrew hang out there more than Twitter now because it's just Saints talking. And as Dave will tell you, we're always looking for an excuse not to work. So there. the final thing I'll say is you can sign up for Saints Happy Hour, and it's free until March 1st. May 1st. You won't get charged. So consider joining us. We're the podcast Sean Payton hates the most. That should tell you something about us. So that wraps it up. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. It's been crazy tonight with people joining the live stream. We really appreciate it. So that'll do it. An amazing weekend. God, I think I speak for all of us. We needed the Saints to do exactly what they did and entertain us for 4 days in the worst way. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, who's driving back to St. Louis, until next time, the bar is closed.
Who dat?